This morning, we return to our series on corrections in Iowa with the second half of our report on sex offender treatment and monitoring. About 1 in 8 inmates in Iowa's prison system are sex offenders, and many go through treatment while in prison. But does it work? 21-year-old Michael has been in treatment while incarcerated at Mount Pleasant Correctional Facility in eastern Iowa. He sexually abused a minor when he was 18. He says he's learned to stop abusing alcohol, drugs, and food. He's dropped 170 pounds.
I'm actually scared. I've never really held myself accountable before in my life. You know, I'm going to be released from prison in 3 months from now. And I have all the tools that are necessary so I don't reoffend. It's just keeping myself to hold myself accountable is going to be the hardest thing. I'm going to try my damnedest not to.
Now, Michael says he talks through his feelings, exercises, even reads literature, like novels about Aristotle and Nostradamus. Thomas, who's now 25, has been in prison for 7 years for sexually abusing a minor when he was 18. He's been in treatment for 18 months.
I can't honestly picture myself doing it. I can't discount the possibility because something we learned in treatment is cycles. And if I let myself go and back to what I was doing, there's a chance that I could become violent again. So I can't say for a fact that I won't become violent and come back to prison again, but I can say with the tools I'm learning that the chances are next to none.
The men asked that we only use their first names. They sit in chairs in a circle along with several correctional counselors. They're not shackled, but a guard keeps watch a few paces away.
I've seen people come, I've seen people go, and then come back again, and they haven't changed at all. Even people have done 5 years, I've seen them come back and do a 2-year bit. They haven't changed at all. But I've seen people that have done this treatment and actually done it, not just faked it, and they have changed.
But how can you tell who has changed and who's still dangerous? Studies on sex offender recidivism have yielded mixed results. And cases like the abduction of 2 Dayton, Iowa girls by a convicted sex offender last month tend to boost public concern. In the case of Michael Klunder, the Department of Corrections recommended that he be considered for confinement in a civil commitment unit after serving time for crimes including kidnapping. But for a variety of reasons, including the intricacies of state laws that have evolved to some degree since then, Klunder was set free after 19 years. Details of his 2 rounds of sex offender treatment are confidential, according to state officials.
You know, there's cases from time to time that if you've been in the business long enough that it's worrisome and you can't help it. I mean, you care about your community and you always want them safe.
Gail Huckins oversees sex offender treatment at Mount Pleasant. She says she doesn't remember Klunder from his time there, but she says it would be naive to assume every inmate is sincere.
Are there people there that are trying to say what we want to hear or just do the showboat thing? I'm sure there is. There's checks and balances for that, though.
After prison, those deemed at very high risk of reoffending can be confined to the state's civil commitment unit. That facility in Cherokee is operated by the Department of Human Services and has room for 100 inmates. It only happens in rare cases after a 3-level review process. In reality, many sex offenders are treated and monitored outside prison while on probation or parole. Dr. Tony Tatman oversees a community corrections program for sex offenders in South Central Iowa. Tatman says risk is analyzed based on factors like age, gender, the number of convictions, and the relationship to the victim.
It's quite a complicated evaluation. We look at a variety of different actuarial risk tools that have been developed specifically for sex offenders.
When you say actuarial, I think like insurance.
Exactly. That's where they were developed, in a similar type of way, that if your insurance company identifies a 16-year-old male has increased rate of accidents, so their premiums are different than a 45-year-old male, that's a similar type of methodology and statistics used to develop these tests.
Tatman's program works with a range of offenders, from so-called peeping Toms to those guilty of violent assaults. That kind of supervision is critical for protecting the public, says Beth Barnhill, the executive director of the Iowa Coalition Against Sexual Assault. But she adds that some policies aimed at sex offenders, though well-intentioned, aren't making us safer.
And when we have things like residency restrictions that actually haven't been shown to be effective in any manner, and we have some work restrictions, and what they say is they want the person to have a chance to have a life that's not about sex offending. And so the more and more things that we have like that, the less and less chance some of those offenders have to live some sort of productive life. They absolutely should have restrictions on them. They absolutely should be watched. But some of the things that we create have no basis in research in terms of what's effective. And it's often not what the survivors want.
What many victims want, Barnhill says, is adequate treatment for offenders and sensible policies that keep the public safe. The challenge, of course, is that no policy yet will keep everyone safe all the time. In Mount Pleasant, I'm Sarah McCammon, Iowa Public Radio News.